This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Do you ever think about switching insurance companies to see if you could save some cash? Progressive makes it easy. Just drop in some details about yourself and see if you're eligible to save money when you bundle your home and auto policies. The process only takes minutes, and it could mean hundreds more in your pocket. Visit Progressive.com after this episode to see if you could save. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Potential savings will vary. Not available in all states.
This episode is brought to you by Polestar. There's only one true way to experience the all-electric luxury SUV Polestar 3, and that's to take a test drive. It can go from 0 to 60 in as little as 4.8 seconds with the dynamic handling of a sports car. But to truly understand how it commands the road, you need to be behind the wheel. Up to 350 miles of range, the 3D surround sound system by Bowers & Wilkins, it's all something you have to experience to believe. So book your test drive for Polestar 3 today at Polestar.com.
This
is the Rich Eisen Show.
Goats have home lives too.
Live from the Rich Eisen Show studio in Los Angeles.
Rich Eisen.
Hello, Rich Eisen.
Rich Eisen. Oh, that's Susie Eisen's husband.
The Rich Eisen Show. And now, sitting in for Rich, here's Dan Schwartzman.
Hour two on this Friday. In for Rich, baseball's all-star game, the home run derby, is almost upon us. I used to be a huge fan. I do like the all-star game, don't get me wrong. I think baseball players actually try. I'm just not crazy about pitchers pitching one inning and calling it a day. And I like the all-star games when they, or the home run derbies, when they have people you actually want to see in a home run derby. But baseball, we are past the halfway point, but call it the halfway point because it's the all-star the All-Star Week is coming up shortly in Atlanta. Kind of cool stuff on social media. I watched that Brian Wu TikTok where he calls his parents. The Mariners pitcher calls his parents, and he's kind of like, oh, what are you guys doing? You're going to come to New York. We'll go out after a game. We'll get breakfast, whatever it is. And he's like, and then you're coming to Atlanta. And they go crazy because they realize he had made the All-Star team. And, you know, baseball during spring training, they show the guy getting called into the manager's office where he's told he's made the team, and they kind of make it a funny thing. That's some of the stuff I do love to see. But baseball halfway point is here. A lot to get into. Jared Diamond covers baseball for the Wall Street Journal on X at Jared Diamond joining us. And, Jared, I get to watch Aaron Judge a lot being in the New York area. And what he's doing this year, leading baseball in average, he's second in home runs. I believe what he's tied for, the lead in RBIs, number one in hits. His on-base and slugging percentages are like Ruthian numbers here. When you see what he's doing right now, and we presume he's obviously clean, baseball is a bit different right now than the steroid era, do people really appreciate what they're watching in terms of greatness with him?
Probably not. A year ago, last season, we were all talking about how Aaron Judge was having or had truly one of the greatest seasons in baseball history. And by just about every measure, he's been even better this year. I mean, this is a guy that is now sort of heading toward his third in the last 4 years, sort of Ruthian type season. If he makes it to 60 home runs, and there's no guarantee he does, but he's got 34 right now. There's definitely a chance, if he stays healthy, a good chance. He would have multiple seasons with 60 homers, topping 60 homers. And the reality is no clean player in baseball history has ever done that. There has not been a clean player that topped 60 homers twice in his career. Aaron Judge is a 62. He has a 58, and he's well on his way to topping 60 again. The only unfortunate thing about Aaron Judge's career is they didn't start getting up to the Yankees till he was 24. He lost those few years. And he was 21, 22. Probably the only thing stopping him from, pursuing 800 homers. I mean, who knows?
And a couple of injury years as well, Jared, where he played like 112 games, yet blasted like 37 home runs. I mean, some ridiculous numbers. And, it's funny because you are talking about an all-time great. And when he first came up, and we know he strikes out a lot, but he's a slugger, his career average is over 290, which is kind of shocking if you think about the type of player he is. I mean, hitting 365 is going to help. But on the other hand, you have Shohei Ohtani, who's back on the mound, throwing an inning here or there. And yet, when he's at the plate, he has struggled a bit the last 3 weeks to a month, but He's also a guy on pace for 50-plus home runs yet again. You know, baseball, I don't think, does a great job of marketing itself. And here you have two guys who you could consider to be all-time great players, Judge and Ohtani. Has baseball, in your opinion, done a better job the last couple of years of kind of using those two guys to enhance the popularity of the sport, especially to a younger audience?
And it feels like Ohtani is just about everywhere. I think they're doing the best they can. Look, baseball's always going to have limitations in this space compared to the other sport. And you know, if you, any baseball fan kind of knows what they are, which is it doesn't matter how great you are in baseball, the impact that you could actually make on a game is limited. I mean, Shohei Ohtani, when he's pitching and hitting simultaneously, is making more of an impact on a game than any player in the history of baseball. But nonetheless, you know, you only bat four times a game, maybe five. We've all gone to games excited to go see the superstar player, and he goes over four. He doesn't get a single ball in the field, and he literally had absolutely no impact in the game. That is not a problem in the other sports. If you go to an NBA game to go watch, you know, Kevin Durant, as a weird example, but first guy that popped into my head, you could basically be certain that that player is going to have the ball in his hands constantly, is going to do something to impact the game. Same with football, with a quarterback. That guy's going to have the ball in his hands every 2 seconds and is going to make an impact on the game. And it really allows you to sort of market the individual stars in a way that I think is harder in baseball when they don't have the same impact. It also doesn't help, and I don't. This is not sort of a criticism of either of the players we're discussing. Shohei Ohtani does not speak English in public. That is completely his prerogative. He speaks some English in private. That's, you know, but it's hard to sort of put him out there when he can't really speak. And Aaron Judge, he is not Mr. Rah-Rah vocal leader, look at me guy. And that's fine. He is entitled to sort of behave the way he wants to be. By all accounts, he's a great teammate. He's a good guy. But he doesn't like being front and center. And I don't think Major League Baseball can really do much about that. So I think they're doing the best they can. And baseball has made great strides in recent years. The game is growing among young people. The rule changes have made a big impact. So I hope it's trending the right direction as a baseball fan myself.
And by the way, don't worry. We spent about 10 minutes for no reason on Kevin Durant in hour one of this show. So you just kind of actually fit right into what we've been doing for the last hour.
Great.
And 10 minutes.
I was listening. You just didn't know.
That's why. Of course you were listening, Jared. Why wouldn't you be? Who's not listening?
Exactly.
Jared Diamond covers baseball for the Wall Street Journal, joining us here on the Rich Eisen Show. Dan Schwartzman in for Rich. Remember, at Jared Diamond on X. Juan Soto has rubbed some people in New York wrong, mainly Yankee fans, of course, but he recently came out with an interesting statement. I'm sure you know what I'm talking about, Jared, where he was asked about being snubbed for the All-Star game. He made it about like a financial thing, right? And people then said, aha, you see, he only went to the Mets for the money. Were you rubbed a little wrong by the fact that he, instead of saying, I'm disappointed that I'm not an All-Star because that's what you strive to be in baseball, and he more talked about it being a financial thing, bother you at all?
I don't think it was the most elegant way of making the point he was trying to make. I don't think anyone would say that it was necessarily the best way to go about it. But I do think there's a lot of sort of high emotion about Juan Soto around baseball and among fans since signing that contract. Yeah, it was a gigantic contract. It was a bigger contract than anyone could have imagined. You know, do I believe that the discourse around his contract played a role in, say, why the players didn't vote for him? Yeah, I do. I do believe that played a role, right? I do think there's some sort of, who is this guy? Who does he think he is? The reality is Juan Soto should be an All-Star. I mean, I know he's been sort of an up and down first half, but he has been fantastic of late. His June was absolutely phenomenal. At the end of the day, we're sitting here on July 11th. He is not having a good season by his standards, but he still has a 900 OPS. Like, that's sort of what, you know, would the Mets like 950? Would they like 989 like the Yankees got last year? Sure, but this is the year, this is half of year one after signing this big contract. So, look, I think if you are sort of a reasonable Mets fan, you are still pretty confident that Juan Soto is going to be fine he will be. He's not the first player to sign a huge contract and then sort of struggle at the beginning, right? Like, that happens. Mets fans should know about that about as well as anyone, right? I mean, everyone who's a Mets fan remembers Carlos Beltran in 2005 when he signed that giant contract with the Mets, and he really struggled. He had probably the worst season of his sort of younger career. And guess what? He came back in 2006 and was one of the best players in baseball, and like everyone now sort of thinks of Carlos Beltran's time with the Mets fondly. So, yeah, I think everyone needs to calm down a little bit. I do think he should be an all-star, and maybe Juan should sort of stress test his comments before speaking next time.
Jared, bigger surprise for you through this first half of this season, what the Blue Jays have done, taking a two-game lead in the American League East, or what we're seeing from the Cubs in the Central, where they're scoring a boatload of runs. They have some really good young talent. They have outfielders that between the Japanese kid and Pete Crow Armstrong, you're talking 150 plus RBIs. Who's the bigger surprise to you, Chicago or Toronto?
It's funny. Going into the year, I genuinely thought both of those teams were going to be playoff teams.
Wow.
But I still would say Toronto, only because of how bad they were to start the year, right? I was actually high on Toronto coming into the season. I was telling people before that I thought they were going to be good. Then they got off to this pretty rough start, and I was like, well, I guess I'm a moron. Why do I believe in these guys, right? They always seem to underachieve. That's sort of been the run of the Blue Jays in recent years, but they really turned it on. And I guess the reason what they're doing is so impressive is they're doing it in the AL East, right? Like the Cubs winning the NL Central should not be a surprise to anyone. They're the only team that spends any money in a pretty weak division. Like, all credit to Milwaukee. What they do every year is like absolutely extraordinary with the budget they have. And the fact they're only two games behind the Cubs right now is like a real testament to them. But like, you sit here right now, and if the season ended today, there'd be four American League East teams in the playoffs.
Like,
that division is brutal, right? With the run Boston has gone, only won seven in a row. Now Boston is now in postseason position. So the fact that Toronto is sitting here in first place on July 11th, right? Like, I didn't expect that, right? I thought they were going to sort of be competing for one of those sort of second, third wild card spots. The fact they're sitting here in first place ahead of the Yankees, that surprised me. Certainly more than the Cubs, who I think just have an easier road to a division title in the NL Central.
On the other side, in terms of biggest disappointment, is there a bigger disappointment in your mind than the Braves being 12 games under right now?
I think there's two candidates for biggest disappointment, and I really don't know where I would rank them, but it's Atlanta, like you mentioned, and Baltimore, right? Like, Baltimore being 42-50 is a shock. I know I just praised that division, but the Orioles, man, oh, man. I mean, they've been so good the last couple of years. They build that whole thing up, and then to just, like, fall on their face this year is a real, real debacle. And then there's Atlanta, like you said. Who could have seen this coming? I mean, what a shock. First of all, you just never expect the Braves to be bad, right? The Braves are just, like, good all the time, it seems like. Like, there's always good. If you're around my age growing up sort of in the 90s into the 2000s, like, you're just used to seeing the Braves in the playoffs every single year, just about. They've been in the playoffs how many straight years now? I think seven consecutive seasons. So it is pretty shocking to see them eight games under 500 as well. It's funny that they're both eight games under 500. I guess that's just sort of the mark of disappointment. But when you're hosting the All-Star game and there's all this excitement around your team, you're getting Ronald Acuna back, who, by the way, has been really good since coming back. Yeah, it's shocking. I think the most shocking thing about the Braves is, like, they're not hitting, right? Like, you just saw that. You see that lineup, and they got Riley, they got Olsen, they got Albies, they got Acuna, and they're just not. Like, it just isn't working. And right now, it's like very hard to see either of those teams kind of bouncing back. There's too much competition. We just talked about the AL East. The NL East is a real gauntlet too, right? With Philadelphia and New York. It's like hard to see the Braves kind of getting back into it. Look, they did it in 2021. They won the World Series. They were nowheresville at the All-Star break in 21. They won the whole thing. So I wouldn't rule them out entirely, but it is hard to imagine. It's a real sort of missed opportunity for that franchise for sure.
All right, last question. Jared Diamond covering baseball for the Wall Street Journal. We have the Home Run Derby at Truist Park in Atlanta, July 14th. Acuna, you like to see anyway, obviously exciting player. Cal Raleigh's in it. The guy's leading baseball and home runs right now. The names after that, James Wood, Byron Buxton, O'Neill Cruz, Junior Caminero, Brent Rooker, Jazz Chisholm. Somehow, Jared, you have a very good sense of humor. Try to make that sexy for me to where I'm going to be like, man, past Raleigh and Acuna, I got to watch these guys.
Yeah, like I understand. It works sort of. And Forgers are past the era of the best of the best doing this event, right? Like Aaron Judge, Shohei Ohtani, they're not going to do it. You're just not going to get them to do it. But I think there's some exciting names. I mean, the name to really look out for in this event is O'Neill Cruz. Like, to me, O'Neill Cruz is the favorite to win this thing. Like, there is nobody in baseball that hits the ball harder than O'Neill Cruz. O'Neill Cruz on Pittsburgh is, like, the biggest enigma in baseball because he literally hits the ball harder than anyone in baseball, has the highest average exit velocity, and yet he isn't good, like, consistently, which is really bizarre.
Because he doesn't hit. But if he doesn't hit it.
Right, he doesn't. Right, like you, it's like that scene in Moneyball, the movie. It was like, if he could hit good, he would hit good.
Right.
But O'Neill Cruz taking batting practice, like I don't know if you saw, Paul Skenes had a quote the other day where he said that O'Neill Cruz taking the best batting practice I've ever seen in my life. And I really don't think he meant that as like a veiled insult, although it kind of sounds like one without any context. But the guy did so hard. So I think that's exciting. Jazz Chisholm's like really fun player, right? These aren't superstars, but they're fun players. You get Cal Raleigh, you get Acuna. The Derby's always just kind of like a fun event because, you know, I don't know, maybe they juice the balls or something, but it does seem like the ball really is flying every year at that thing. So I still believe, despite all the problems that baseball's All-Star game has, it is still the best All-Star game in sports.
Agreed.
I think by far, honestly. Like, look, is it what it used to be? No. It's never going to be what it used to be. It still is, I think, a fun event. I'm glad they're going back to wearing their actual team uniforms and not wearing those abominations they've put them in the last few years. It's still great to see all these guys on a field together. I think baseball is doing good stuff with how they present it, the mic'd up players and all the sort of TV sort of gimmicks they're doing. I still think it's fun. I'm looking forward to being there and, like, you know, it's better than the Pro Bowl. It's better than whatever that NBA All-Star game is.
You don't say. Really? Better than the Pro Bowl? Come on.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I'll take what we could get. You know what I'm saying?
Right. Well, you made it a little sexy. I take it on a date right now, the way you told us who to watch. O'Neill Cruz, the name to watch in this Home Run Derby. And you know what? I had Pete Alonso fatigue. I'm kind of glad he's not in it, just to say, just because... Again, he's been in for so many years in a row and winning it. It's just like, come on, let somebody else win it. So
yeah.
At least we don't
have new blood, you know.
Yeah.
This is where you meet players. So Pete Alonso, that's how a lot of fans around the country met Pete Alonso, was through that event. So, like, guys can sort of rise and kind of take on personalities that you didn't know that they had before in this thing. So, like, who will it be this year? Like, there's usually, like, a good moment in the Home Run Derby every year. It's usually someone you don't expect.
Yeah, no, I agree. And you know what? Maybe they should throw some humor into this and have James Woods go to bat for James Wood. Why not? You get the reference.
It's one version of humor, I guess.
Right? I mean, come on. You got to do something, right? I got a little snicker from you there. Come on. I got to get some credit
for that. They're trying. Look, I think MLB, if it'll get people watching, they'll do anything at this point. So
whatever it takes. Jared Diamond covers baseball for the Wall Street Journal. Check him out on X at Jared Diamond. Jared, appreciate the time. Have fun in Atlanta and have a great weekend.
You as well. Thanks. Anytime. Good talking to you.
You as well. You get the reference, right, Art Martinez? The actor James Woods?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
The Nationals player James Wood? Right? Come on. How funny would it be if they send up James Woods to bat in the All-Star game in the Derby? Just kidding. I just had to throw it out there. Because people are like, who the hell's James Wood? Well, he's actually a fairly good power hitter. Young, young player, by the way, for the Washington Nationals. I'll give you my thoughts on the Home Run Derby. Major League Baseball's first half of the season. That is next. We are humming along here on a Friday, July, what is it, the 11th? Time flies, by the way. Summer's going by
7-11
very quickly. 7-11, baby. That's right. Dan Schwartzman on this Friday, sitting in the big boy chair for Rich. It is the Rich Eisen Show.
So you know we love talking movies around here. You know we love talking comedy around here. We also love talking about classics around here. So, you know what I'm all about. That said, all of that said, you know how I must have felt when I was sitting in the movie theater like I was the other day watching the previews, and up came a preview for The Naked Gun with Liam Neeson as Frank Drebin Jr. That preview had me at hello. I loved Police Squad back in the day. I loved The Naked Gun back in the day. And here comes The Naked Gun once again with, yes, Liam Neeson as Frank Drebin Jr. Come on now. Son of the celebrated Police Squad Lieutenant Frank Drebin from the original movie. Paul Walter Hauser's in this movie also. Pamela Anderson. Guess who also makes an appearance? WWE superstar Cody Rhodes, and the producer of the movie is Seth MacFarlane, the creator of The Family Guy. Come on now. This is going to be so much fun. I'm excited to see The Naked Gun in theaters on August 1st. So, what are you doing August 1st? Of course, you're going to a theater near you, and you're seeing The Naked Gun. I might even be there.
This episode brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Do you ever find yourself playing the budgeting game? Shifting a little money here, a little there, and hoping it all works out? Well, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive, you can get a better budgeter and potentially lower your insurance bill too. You tell Progressive what you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll help find you options within your budget. Try it today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law. Not available in all states.
This episode is brought to you by Navy Federal Credit Union. Navy Federal can help you find and finance the right vehicle with ease. And this summer, you're in the driver's seat with savings. You could get a $250 bonus when you buy your next car through Navy Federal's car buying service powered by TrueCar and finance with Navy Federal. With this tool, you can find the vehicle that's right for you as you search through inventory and compare models. And you can get an amazing rate when you finance with Navy Federal. Navy Federal strives to support all active duty veterans and their families to achieve their personal and financial goals. And this partnership with TrueCar is one of the many tools Navy Federal uses to help its members. Make your plan with Navy Federal and TrueCar today. Navy Federal Credit Union. Our members are the mission. To qualify for the $250 bonus, car purchase and financing must be completed by September 2nd, 2025. Terms and conditions apply and are available at NavyFederal.org/TrueCar. Credit and collateral subject to approval. Navy Federal is insured by NCUA.
Dan Schwartzman, The Rich Eisen Show. And, man, baseball, home run derby, July 14th. Ronald Acuna, he is the local guy, playing, of course, at Truist Park in Atlanta. Baseball's home run leader, Cal Raleigh, the Seattle Mariners. Definitely want to see him. The guy is, well, he's a catcher. He's blasted 36 home runs this year. He is on pace for 63 home runs. And, you know, he has hit home runs. It's not as if the guy is not a home run hitter. Cal Raleigh, the 3 years prior, hit 27, 30, and 34 home runs. The one difference is his average this year is much better. He was a 211, 232, 220 guy. Lots of strikeouts, not a lot of walks, low on base percentage type of guy. Just an all or nothing power hitter. But this year he's batting a bit more. What's funny about this, I want to bring in my colleague here, Art Martinez. What's kind of funny about this is Cal Raleigh could blast 60 home runs as a catcher, and he still should not get a single MVP vote over Aaron Judge, who's batting 100 points higher than him. Isn't that amazing?
Why is that? Because he plays in Seattle?
No, because, I mean, Judge is obviously a better player, right? Like, Cal Raleigh is going to match potentially this year home run for home run. He's got 36. Judge has 34. Judge has 78 or so RBIs. Raleigh has 76. So they're neck and neck in those two categories, right?
But you don't think he's going to sustain it for the rest of the year?
No, even if he does. You know, he's batting 262. Judge is a guy right now who is putting up Ruthian-type numbers. I mean, Raleigh's hitting 262, which, again, is not terrible in today's baseball. Aaron Judge is batting 356. Right, he's batting 96 points higher. Now, Cal Raleigh is a guy that he doesn't walk a ton compared to Judge. I mean, Raleigh's walked you know, a good amount of times. He's going to probably walk about 100 times this year. And Raleigh overall, because, you know, it's all about sabermetrics now in baseball,
right? Of course.
So Raleigh, his OPS is 1.008. Pretty good. Okay? No one's going to scoff at 1.008. Do you know what Aaron Judge is doing this year, what his OPS is? 1.192. He's got, crazy. In essence, a 1,200 OPS.
It's crazy.
I mean, people don't realize Aaron Judge, the last season he has had where he was under a 1,000 OPS was 2021. It was 916, by the way. Not much, you know, you can't scoff at that. But, I mean, Aaron Judge is doing things that people shouldn't do. His career OPS is over 1,000. And this year, he's at 1,200. I mean, his on-base percentage, he gets on base over 46% of the time. He's slugging 73%. I mean, that's incredible. So as fun as Cal Raleigh has been, and he's obviously been quite the slugger this year, it's not going to mean squat. Because unless Aaron Judge falls off the face of this earth or gets injured, which could happen, by the way, but unless that happens, Aaron Judge is going to win himself another MVP, his third, and rightfully so, and cement himself as a Hall of Fame player.
And they just swept the Mariners the last three nights.
They were being no hit into the seventh inning yesterday, down 5-0, and they came back to win that game.
And it was Judge that did the walk-off, right?
Yeah, Judge had the walk-off. Give Volpe a lot of credit. Had an incredible slide where the ball beat him to the plate. But he took that wacky slide where he put his right arm and Raleigh couldn't tag him. So, interesting. But, you know, Aaron Judge is a guy that, barring injury, is going to have over 50 home runs this year for the fourth time in his career. We're talking about the non-steroid era, we think, right? We think it's the non-steroid era. Maybe we're wrong, but that's the thought out there. And you have a guy who's literally putting up Babe Ruth-esque numbers. It's not something you see a lot of. That's what my whole point is. We've watched a guy become literally a legend when you think about what he's accomplishing on a baseball field. And I think the same thing, by the way, with Ohtani. And you get to watch a lot more Ohtani than I do.
He's been struggling lately. Struggling, striking out a lot. Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, listen, he's going through one of those stretches, and he has that. Remember last year he struggled about a month before the last month of the season. But Ohtani, who's now down to 279, his OPS has slipped under 1,000. He's still on pace for over 50 home runs, over 100 RBIs, by the way, is a leadoff hitter. He's going to walk over 100 times. Yes, he is struggling. He's striking out a lot. But, you know, once he gets hot again, the home runs are going to come, and Ohtani's going to be a guy that this year is going to go over the 40 home run mark for the fourth time in his career and probably over the 50 home run mark for the second time in his career.
Well, let me ask you a question. His pitching, does that have anything to do with his struggling?
That's a good question. I would say right now, yes. And the reason I say
because he's still first in the lineup.
Well, I think it's more a case where he's not fully back pitching, right? Where he's pitching 7 innings or 6 innings at a time.
Yeah, 2 innings last outing.
Right. 2 innings, right? He's pitching an inning or 2 innings, kind of like the starter for the game, and then they take him out early. And I do think there is a case where Ohtani potentially, I don't know his mindset, of course, but I think Ohtani, to a point, is thinking too much about that side of the ball, getting himself back to where he is a consistent starter throwing 7-8 innings, whatever it might be. And maybe he's kind of taking the eye off the ball, no pun intended, by the way, for the hitting.
And for that reason, I think we should move him down in the lineup.
Yeah, he's going to wake up. But Art, he's going to wake up. He's going to, you know, the light bulb's going to go back on shortly. And when it does, watch out baseball. Remember last year, the last month of the season, what he did was just ridiculous. He had that one game with like 7, 8 RBIs, whatever it was insane. So, yeah, he's struggling right now, and it's been a tough 3 weeks or a month, whatever it's been. But when that light bulb goes on and he's comfortable again at the plate, he's going to be fine. I just think it's a tough position right now if you're Dave Roberts, and Ohtani dictates a lot and probably too much. You know, I think Ohtani kind of dictates what he wants to do more so than he is told what to do by Dave Roberts or anybody in the organization. And I think that was the case with the Angels. You know, Ohtani is a guy who knows his body. He's a guy that knows his arm. If he doesn't feel comfortable on a day he's going to pitch, he won't pitch. He'll just say, I'm not pitching. You know, I get it. And you kind of have to handle him to a point with kid's gloves. And I don't mean because he's got an ego or because he's a jerk. I mean, you have to handle him with kid's gloves because no one in baseball probably puts as much strain on their body than Shohei Ohtani when he's playing both ways. And when that happens, you have to listen to him. And if he tells you he's not feeling it or something's wrong or in warmups, it wasn't clicking and he decides he can't pitch or whatever it is, you don't say no, you're going out there. You say, okay, Shohei, next time, you know? So I think he's a creature of habit to where he's gotten accustomed to batting leadoff. And for the most part, he's been a very good leadoff hitter. He's going to walk over 100 times this year. He's got a high on-base percentage, which is what you want from a leadoff hitter, right? Today in baseball, guys who are batting leadoff have 330, 340 on-base percentages. This isn't the Ricky Henderson era where, you know, consistently over 400. Ohtani's got, you know, a 383, and this is after the struggles. Last year, 390. The year before that, 412. So Ohtani is getting on base a heck of a lot more at this stage in his career. So just be patient. Now, the stolen bases are an issue, right? Last year, 59 stolen bases. First player ever, 50-50. But I think he's also not stealing bases because of the fact he's trying to protect himself.
Oh,
he's
yeah.
trying to protect his arm. And that is an issue. If Shohei Ohtani just strictly was a hitter right now and they decided not to let him pitch, would his numbers be even better than they are? And by the way, his numbers are pretty phenomenal right now anyway. But the answer, I think, clearly is yes. Because last year when he didn't concentrate at all on pitching, he had a legendary type year. He set a Dodger record for home runs in a season. And he's a pitcher slash hitter. Think about it, right? So when you talk about the greatness of Shohei Ohtani, you have to understand that this is a guy who, if he was strictly a pitcher, is probably a top 10 pitcher in baseball. Right? When Shohei Ohtani is healthy and his stuff and he, you know, that's all he's concentrating on.
He has the velocity.
He's got the pitches. I mean, Shohei Ohtani has everything. He's not a one-trick pony as a pitcher. He's not just a guy who throws a – he's not a flamethrower throwing 100 miles an hour and that's it. You know, he could get guys out. You know, he's a guy that has struck out over 200 batters in a season, as crazy as that is, because nowadays you think of Shohei Ohtani, you say to yourself, oh, this is a guy that, of course, is going to hit 50 home runs. No. His last year, his second to last year at the Angels, he had 219 strikeouts in 166 innings. And if it wasn't for Aaron Judge breaking Roger Maris's home run record for the American League for a single season home run total, Shohei Ohtani, and by the way, you could still make the argument Ohtani should have won MVP regardless of Judge doing that, because Ohtani won 15 games, struck almost 220 batters out, and hit 46 home runs, I believe it was, and didn't win the MVP, something, whatever it was. I mean, it was an utterly phenomenal year for him, and because, you know, Judge breaks a record, he gets the MVP, but we could be talking about Ohtani going for his fourth straight MVP this year. But, you know, he didn't win. He was second behind Judge. And by the way, even with Ohtani's struggles, Art, and again, he's going to get hot, he's in that MVP conversation again.
In the National League, yeah, absolutely.
In the National League, absolutely. Like, look around the National League right now, okay? Look around the National League. Who is your MVP? Think about it. You don't have a clear cut like Aaron Judge. Like, in the American League, it is clear cut. Aaron Judge is your MVP. In the National League, who is a clear-cut MVP? There is not a clear-cut MVP. There's not.
Yeah, Schwarber comes to mind.
But Schwarber's a guy who's going to hit you what? He's hitting 250 right now. That's going to go down to 240, 230. Who else? Suarez is another guy who's going to hit you 220, right? He's hitting 249 right now. Hard to say that Eugenio Suarez is going to be an MVP over Shohei Ohtani. It's stunning if you think about the fact that Shohei Ohtani is, even with the struggles, probably your favorite. Suzuki and Crow Armstrong have been very good for the Cubs this year. They both have 25, very similar stats, by the way. They both have 25 home runs. Suzuki's got 77 ribbies. Armstrong has 70 ribbies. They're both hitting in that 270 range. You're not going to give them the MVP over Shohei Ohtani. Juan Soto, Pete Alonso's had a nice year. I mean, but honestly, it's crazy, right? You think about it.
Yeah, you're right. You're right.
There's nobody that sticks out that you say, yep, that's the guy. And in the end, as I've been saying, he's going to put up big numbers. He's going to get his 50 home runs, 100 ribbies. And think about this. He's a leadoff hitter that's going to hit 50 home runs and drive in 100 runs and score 150 runs as a leadoff hitter. I know he's a DH, and that hurts him a bit. It didn't hurt him last year for MVP. But I understand where people say, how do you give a DH the MVP? But in a league where you don't have anybody outstanding statistically outside of Shohei Ohtani, he's going to potentially win yet another MVP. You know, you talk about a guy who potentially is going to win his fourth MVP this year. That's Hall of Fame stuff. Right? And he's winning MVPs last year and potentially this year strictly for his hitting. Forget the pitching. So just incredible what we are witnessing these days in baseball. When you look at Judge in the American League and his pure domination, and Shohei Ohtani in the National League and the domination he has shown, of course, it's been a struggle the last month, but all said and done, he's going to hit 350 homers, 100 ribbies, 20 stolen bases. Another ridiculous year for Shohei Ohtani, to say the least. A lot going on in the world of sports.
Get in the zone, AutoZone.
Welcome to AutoZone. What are you working on today? Hey, that's the spirit. Right now, we're celebrating free with a free STP oil filter when you buy 5 quarts of oil and free Duralast brake pads when you buy 2 rotors. Like always, free battery testing, charging, and recycling at every store. Celebrate free at AutoZone, now through July 28th.
Get in the zone, AutoZone.
Restrictions apply.
Let's talk O'Reilly Auto Parts, people. They're in the business of keeping your car on the road. O'Reilly Auto Parts offers friendly, helpful service and the parts knowledge you need for all your maintenance and repairs. They've got thousands of parts and accessories in stock, either in-store or online, so you never have to worry if you're in a jam. The team at O'Reilly Auto Parts can also test your battery for free, in or out of your car. If it needs to be replaced, they'll help you find just the right battery for your vehicle. Need your windshield wipers replaced, a brake light fixed, or a quick service? Well, they'll help you find the right part or point you to the nearest local repair shop for help. I know, because it's happened to me. The professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts are your one-stop shop for all things auto do-it-yourself, and you can find what you need in-store or online. Stop by O'Reilly Auto Parts today or visit us at O'ReillyAuto.com/Eisen. That's O'ReillyAuto.com/Eisen.
Back on the Rich Eisen Show, Dan Schwartzman in for Rich on this Friday, July 11th. I love Fridays. Love it. It's like you don't feel like you can do whatever you want today, right? Unless you have to work on the weekend. Do whatever you want. What do you want to do, honey? We can do whatever we want. Go wherever we want.
You can wear shorts to work.
You can wear shorts to work. Although I don't. Maybe I'm just old-fashioned. I don't wear shorts to work.
We work on radio.
Yeah, it's true, but I don't know. I just don't wear shorts to work. I guess I could. Wouldn't make a difference, right?
Nobody's seeing you.
No one's seeing me. But there are people here in the building, though. That's the problem. And so it's like, do you want to look semi-professional? People in the building, the big boss is here. Like,
and
you know.
Where are you coming out of?
I'm in New York.
You're in a
big building here. So there's a lot of
building.
People.
Ah, okay.
But my big dilemma today is not, do I want to wear shorts to work? You know, Fridays here in the building I work at, they have ice cream.
What?
Okay. Yeah. And I don't mean like crappy ice cream. I mean, they have like the good stuff, like Chipwich. They have the, Nestle, those cones,
what?
You know, the chocolate and stuff. Yeah. Yeah. They have the good stuff. If you want like the sorbet, they have that, the fruit bars.
And this is every Friday for you?
Every Friday, 1 o'clock, they have ice cream bars. Sometimes on Mondays at 1, they have ice cream too. But every Friday at 1 during the summer, they have ice cream. And like the Häagen-Dazs bars with the chocolate, shell on it, or the vanilla with the chocolate shell on it. Those, like, they have like the good stuff, the real deal.
Man,
yeah, yeah. Like all you can eat. Like you want to grab two ice cream bars, you grab two, three, you grab three. And unfortunately, I've not been able to get ice cream today because it's just far enough away that if I ran to get it and I got back before we came out of a commercial break, I'll be out of breath. So I'll be like, ah, we're back on the show. Okay. And then I can't eat ice cream for like 12 minutes, right? I can't eat during the segment. That would sound weird.
Melt.
Right. It's going to melt. So it's either going to sit here melting in front of my eyes and I'm going to be like, I really want to eat it, but I can't because I can't talk on the air with a full mouth. That'd be kind of rude. So I can't eat my ice cream.
And by the time we're off the air, it's all gone.
Well, yes, most likely. There's one caveat. I know the guy who runs like the food services, a good friend of mine.
You slipped him a 20?
No, we've become very good friends, and I'm thinking of just maybe being like, hey, any chance you can put a couple of the ice creams in the freezer, and when I'm done, I'll go get them. But here's the other dilemma, okay? I got to work very, very early this morning, like very early, and there's like the early bird parking special at the garage. And if you come in, you have up to 12 hours, you get one rate. If you go over 12 hours, it like doubles, right? So if I linger around here at work after the show.
Oh, it's more than 12 hours.
Well, it will be like I would have to eat ice cream in like 10 minutes, like stuff myself with ice cream. But, you know, the problem is if you eat like cold stuff very quickly, it doesn't agree with your stomach, you know?
And now you get a brain freeze.
Cold stuff.
You get a brain freeze.
Right, you get a brain freeze, your stomach gets bothered. It's just not pleasant. So the dilemma is I don't want to pay double for parking because I sat here and I ate a couple of ice creams. Yeah, I know it's a terrible dilemma to have.
You've got quite a dilemma there.
Man. I know, right? It's like what to do here. What would you do in this situation? Real world problems here. Do I get a couple of ice creams put in the freezer to eat later and then shove them in my mouth so I don't pay double for the parking because I don't want to go over 12 hours at the garage? Or do I just enjoy the ice cream and pay double? But that's stupid because for that double price, I can just go buy ice cream too. I mean, real worries here in life, right?
Oh, these man.
Some real problems.
Yeah, absolutely.
I know, Arn. Major problems in old Schwartzy's life here. So I already know what I'm going to do. All right. I'm just not going to eat ice cream today. How about that? I'm not going to do it.
There's plenty on the Fridays.
Yeah, but it's here. It's Friday. Literally, the ice, like, they bring out coolers of ice cream, and it's upstairs as we speak.
Like, it's upstairs. I am a
floor.
Oh.
If the floor, well, I can see the escalator. If the floor right now just collapsed right next to me, like, I would have an ice cream, a tub of ice, like a cooler of ice cream right here in the room. Yeah. Big problems, my friend. Big problems.
Yeah, I can imagine.
I know, right? I mean, the dilemmas we deal with in life, right? And these are the problems we have in life. I wish it was all so easy. All right, quick update here. Looks like we're going to have number one versus number two in the Wimbledon men's final.
Yeah, Yannick Djokovic Sinner doesn't look too good. He doesn't look too good.
He's old. Honestly, this is like watching Federer the last couple of years of his career, where it used to be automatic, right? Like Federer's going to win. And now, then it became like, okay, Djokovic is younger. He's just, at this point, better. And I think right now, Djokovic is the old man, right? What is he, like 36 years old, 37 years old? So when you have Carlos Alcaraz is 22.
He's a punk.
Yeah. Oh, we're going to get into that. Yannick Sinner is, he's a young guy, right?
Sinner shouldn't be there.
Well, he's only 23, by the way, and he should not. He got that, performance enhancing, right? He got busted for a performance enhancer, and they only suspended him for a couple of tournaments. And conveniently, they suspended him only during the time that there was not a Grand Slam.
And what's
so
up
I
with
don't
that?
Believe he missed. Well, that caused a big, big controversy where other players were not happy with the fact that he seemingly got off easy when he should have been suspended for a much longer time.
And should have been beaten by Grigor Dimitrov in this tournament.
That's right. He was up two sets to none when he retired because of injury. So, yeah, but this whole Sinner thing where he, I believe, and a lot of people believe, he skirted a harsher penalty when he was, when he should have probably been suspended longer, is what people believe, based on the fact that he failed the test, I believe it was. Right? I mean, I think that's what it was. I mean, it makes perfect sense. So here's the story. Okay, the story was he tested positive from the World Anti-Doping Agency in 2024 for Clestabol. It was announced in February of this year. Then WADA, the World Anti-Doping Agency, which doesn't have a backbone, they accepted the cause and explanation of the positive test. And a lot of people didn't believe him, and they, though, said the player bears responsibility. He was suspended for 3 months, and he was ineligible from February 9th to May 4th, which means, I believe, he was eligible for every one of the, one of the Grand Slams. Right. And a lot of people in tennis were not happy with the fact that he seemingly got off free. And Djokovic said back at the Qatar Open this year, quote, "The majority of the players feel like there is favoritism happening." And I agree. If Jannik Sinner was ranked 100th in the world or 50th in the world, he may get a lengthy suspension of a year plus, and he's missing probably all the majors. So Jannik Sinner did not get a lot of popularity in, you know, because of the fact that he seemingly skirted a tougher sentence for failing a doping test. All right, want to talk a little NFL, a running back, avoid serious injury. Hour 3 of the Rich Eisen Show next. Dan Schwartzman in for Rich on this Friday.
Jim Rome takes on sports.
Why? Because you're not playing me.
With rapid-fire takes.
And a lot to get to, and I'm not sure you're going to like all of it. Honestly, I don't even care if you like all of it or not. I have a job to do.
Scorching debates.
On any given week, you have lots to beef about. Take advantage of it. Get up in here.
He's the spitfire of sports smack.
She's not my fault. We will get to all of that.
The Jim Rome Show podcast.
Get up in here, and we'll beef later on. What's your beef?
Follow and listen on your favorite platform.
You've been warned.